Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
We're coming at you 5 days a week with all that Clippers news.
Hell yeah.
Proudly brought to you by rockauto.com.
Yeah.
Proudly brought to you by Axios.
Yes, you can start your morning with the news that matters in just 10 minutes. Axios Today, hosted by Nyla Boudou and a team of award-winning journalists, will bring you the latest analysis and insight into the trends shaping our world. But you know what you're listening to right now? The trend shaping the Los Angeles Clippers.
Hi-yo. We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. Right off the bat, we're going to be recapping that victory, 126-111 over the Mavs. Really came together right at the end.
It was a good game of basketball. I'm so happy we got the win. Feels good.
So happy. So much of it came down to that execution that we've been talking about, too.
Yes.
But we're going to dig into what we liked about that one, as well as a couple things we didn't like and just overall how we're feeling. Then we got a lot of games this weekend, my friend.
Two of them.
Classic back-to-back for the Clippers. It never stops. So we got a preview of the Clips Blazers, and then we got a whirlwind of a third segment for you. We're gonna
it's all over the place.
We're going to do a quick preview of that game against the Nets. Get into, you know, what we need to do to win, as well as some key matchups pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And then we also have some shavings for you, as well as a love, marry, quarantine. So stay tuned for all of that right about now.
Yes. So the Clippers took care of business against the Mavs, quote unquote, in Dallas. 126-111, which was, it was a closer game than maybe the final score indicated a little bit.
Disagree.
It was a good game of basketball.
I never really felt like the Clips were out of control.
Well, out of control and closer is two different things. Starting-wise, Landry started for the Clippers, which threw, I think, more than a few people off.
I mean, I had no idea.
Landry started for the Clips, and the Mavs went huge with their lineup. They had Kristaps at the 4 and Boban at the 5. J.J. Barea, DNP in this game, which I'm going to be honest, Carlisle. What are you doing, man? Do you know how to coach?
Second most wins in the NBA, and you got Barea, the Clipper killer, on your bench?
I was fine with it, but it was odd. We also got, during the game, Chris Hayes reported that Trez could be with the Clips pretty soon.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. The service for his grandmother is going to be Saturday, as reported. They're expecting Trez to head to the bubble soon after that.
And the best news out of this whole thing... only a 4-day quarantine is expected.
Hell yeah.
He has been testing every day. Apparently he hasn't gone anywhere for lunch, so.
So it's all good. So we hope Trez is doing okay. We hope he comes back when he's ready, of course.
Absolutely.
As well. But let's get into, Will, what did we like about this game?
I mean, right off the bat, we got to talk about the performance of Zubats.
Dude, what a way to answer what happened at the Phoenix game.
Yes.
We're watching a caterpillar come out of their chrysalis right now, I feel like, a little bit.
Well, the thing is, he's shown us streaks of this before. We've seen some good Zubats games. He tied, actually, his season high for boards, so it's not like this is completely unheralded.
Yeah.
He was perfect from the floor, which you love to see. That's always one of my biggest criticisms of when he's not finishing effectively. I mean, it just bogs down the offense.
Yeah. He scored the first 4 points of the game. He was 10 of 10. He played good defense. He only had one foul.
Yeah.
This is his best game as a Clipper. He's the first Clipper ever to have at least 20 and 15 in under 25 minutes.
Which also makes it his best game ever.
Yeah, true. I mean, truly. Yeah, just as a professional. No, this was awesome. And then in the post game, there was some cool stuff. Like, he's got some pretty cool mentors on. It's not just Joakim.
Yeah, definitely. So he talked about responding after that error in Phoenix, and he said that he wanted to come back for the team. He said that PG was riding him especially hard. And PG spoke to that in the press conference. Most of PG's questions really revolved around Zubats.
Dude, it was his night, man.
Which it very much was his night. Paul George just kind of expressed that, you know, he thinks that Zoo is A, of all playoff ready. But it's up to them.
Same brain.
it's up to them, sort of like as vets and people who have the experience, to help lift him in the playoffs. And that, you know, he's hard on him because he does think that he is capable of a lot. I think for a lot of Clippers fans is really reassuring to hear from a guy who is, you know, played with Steven Adams.
Very good point. That's a fantastic point. Yeah, we got Noah singing his praises. We have PG who's playing against great big man. It's just awesome to see. Another thing we liked in this game, Kawhi and PG did their respective thing.
100%. Yeah.
We got a 2-1-3 game in this. Kawhi had 29-6-5. PG 24-7-6.
They came out of the half ready to make a statement.
Yeah.
Yeah. The two of them combined for I can't even remember off the bat. They had some great scoring run though to start things off. And then really, I mean, I alluded to it at the beginning, but just the execution from these two down the stretch was incredible. They were getting stops. They were making it very difficult. Even though Luka was shooting especially well from three, compared to some of his other performances in the bubble, they just did a great job.
Kawhi was shooting well from three. He got fouled on a three. He made a couple. It was good to see. It was from everywhere.
Yeah, we outscored them 20-10 in the final five of this one, and it just busted the whole thing wide open.
Yeah, well, a nice thing that happened in this game, too, is kind of in the beginning, our outside shots weren't hitting, so we were just trying to go inside. And it was nice to see the adjustment made.
The opening quarter was a little rough, which, I mean, I guess we can talk about that in the next segment, but I was not expecting how great it would be. And in the preview for this one, we said that a key was going to be limiting the Mavs' offensive rebounds.
Dude, they go for those second chance opportunities.
I mean, you know, you have to. They're the best offense in the NBA.
Yeah.
So, you know, it helps to get as many opportunities as you can. I thought we did a great job limiting those. As a team, they only got 9 offensive rebounds. And Zoo was a huge part of this. He grabbed up, 9 defensive boards?
Yes. And then 6 offensive, which is almost as many as they had as an entire team. Marcus Morris continued to kind of thrive outside of the Lakers game.
I think he settled into his role in a great way. He had 16-5. You know, he's fine letting Zoo be the other big man scoring wise.
Yeah, and he was making hustle plays. He ended up, he saved a loose ball and he ended up kind of jumping into the bench. Like, this was peak Marcus Morris.
Yeah, he was also just remarkably efficient with the shots that he did get. 71% field goal percentage overall. He was 2-4 from three. I continually am impressed with the performance that we've seen through the scrimmages and these first few games in the bubble, minus the Lakers one.
Minus Lakers, of course.
But I'm willing to count that as an outlier if this level of play continues.
And then to close it out, Jamichael Green. Right now it's a race between Zoo and Jamichael Green for Clippers bubble darling.
Yeah.
Jamichael Green was 4-4. He blocked the hell out of some Mav shot on a corner three, which was, he was very psyched up after that. This was like Marcus Morris and Jamichael Green, it feels like, are kind of starting to peak at the perfect time.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
Base drops.
Yeah.
You feel me? So I hope that continues.
Definitely. And definitely.
So now there were a few things we didn't like. What did you not like from this game?
So, I mean, we both have the same. I mean, the same one off the top is, you know, Landry Shamet.
Still getting there.
Continues to still be getting there. He did have a couple of decent defensive possessions. Down, like, especially in the later parts of the game. The effort was definitely there.
The effort was there.
But to start this one, man, he could not make a bucket to save his life.
No, I mean, he was 1-4 from three for this game. He blew an easy layup. You know, I just hope it starts to get going soon.
So do you think that this Landry in the starting rotation was kind of a move by Doc to hopefully get his conditioning back up and maybe get him a little bit of confidence, and it horrendously backfired?
Maybe, actually. That's a good call. I think Doc also maybe wanted to keep Reggie and Lou together. Just
keep that chemistry. I like that. I like that. Definitely. Definitely. That ties into another thing I didn't love. I'm not going to harp on it too much, but I would like to see Lou Will kind of getting back in his rhythm soon as well.
Yes, I would agree with that.
He was 0-3 from three tonight, only 3-9 overall from the floor. He had the worst plus minus of any player that played more than 20 minutes tonight.
Oof.
Which is not a great look. Not a great look, But you know what? He's still trying to get back into his rhythm. And then also, I mean, it's kind of weird because it strikes me a little bit as like the in-game load management or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But he has been consistently playing 20 minutes every single game he's been back.
Yeah. That's encouraging.
And I wonder if, you know, maybe the idea is that he's not supposed to be taking over games in the same way or taking on as large of a role despite playing the minutes. You know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
Because 9 field goal attempts for Lou really is nothing.
Yeah, especially kind of in 20 minutes. And Reggie Jackson only played 14. That was mostly because of foul trouble. He had 5 fouls in this game. And, like, the eye test was kind of rough for Reggie this game.
Yeah.
But offensively, he went 3 of 6. He went 1 of 2 from beyond the arc. You know, that's not horrible, but only 1 assist and 2 turnovers.
Well, you kind of brought
Coach Updike can't like that.
You know, assist to turnover ratio is my bugaboo.
Yeah.
You kind of brought up something, too, where you said you've been kind of dismayed with some of his performance in transition.
It just looks a little like, I guess I just thought it would look more confident. Sometimes he's on a new team still, effectively.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. But it just, like, some of the turnovers are a little, what are you doing? But I think that's just, you know. And like I said, shooting-wise, he was great. 3 of 6, 1 of 2 from the arc. That's awesome. Kind of the last thing we didn't like, and this is more of a question that you posed, because Patterson's defense has been horrible.
Yes.
Should Joakim be getting more run than Patterson right now? Patterson, who shot well in this game.
He has continued to shoot well for the most part.
The offense is there.
The offense is there in the role that we ask of him. But defensively,
it's not.
It's not. And I mean,
team worse plus minus, minus 8.
And, you know, with no Trez and the defense on the second unit being questionable at best, I don't know how good of a fit it is. It maybe would be nice to get Joakim a little bit more run. He only played a minute.
It was a good minute.
Had a good foul in there, so.
Yes. yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. This is just kind of more of an open question. I've liked some things that we've seen from Joakim. I guess I don't know what the plan is.
I think the offense of Patterson and Doc's mind is just so much better for floor spacing that it's like, put him out there.
Yeah.
Because it has to be, because that's the only real advantage it feels like.
That's fair.
And maybe fitness.
Yeah.
How are we feeling?
Oh, I feel great. This was a solid win. I predicted the win. I was pretty confident. I was confident that we were going to come away with this win. There wasn't really a lot of doubt in my mind, but it still feels good to get it done.
I thought it was going to be a little closer. We both kind of predicted like a 5 or 3 point game.
Yes, I did think it was going to be a little closer.
Zubats continues to impress and act older than he is.
Mm-hmm.
In good ways. I hope we split this weekend back to back. I'm not really hoping for, I don't think we're going to get 2 wins because some guys are going to rest. Kawhi and PG play a lot of minutes.
Yes.
Around 40 for each, just under.
Yeah, 38, 37, I think.
Yeah.
Just under. I don't know where I'm splitting hairs about this.
I get it, bro. We didn't run into JJ Barea, so I'm feeling good. This is a good way to go into the weekend back to back.
Good stuff. All right, so coming up next, we got a little preview for you of when the Clippers take on the Trailblazers' first game on a beautiful Saturday back-to-back.
Yes, so this Saturday at 10 in the morning Pacific Standard Time.
Love it.
Might as well be fucking 6.
Why do they even play games this early?
I don't know. It's crazy. It's like cartoons, but you have to really focus on it, so it's not as, you know... Whoa, that was a good time. So, Clips Blazers. Doc said pregame that they might hold Bev out like a few more games. He said it might be a couple games. You know, they're being cautious.
I believe the first time the calf was an issue, they rested him for a week, and I don't believe the calf was again an issue.
Yeah. So we might be without Bev in this one. Got to assume one of Kawhi or PG sits after the minutes load they played.
Really?
I mean, dude, it's either this game or the Nets game.
I would rather rest them in the Nets game.
I'd rather rest them in this game because this game's going to be harder.
I'd rather win against a Western Conference team. I'd rather them play. we keep talking about, you know, the runway getting shorter and shorter. There's not a lot of time to build good habits. I'd rather build good habits against a good team than have Kawhi and Paul George dunk on a shit team.
See, I'm the opposite. I'm like, just get the confidence up. Go out there, get that run against the Nets. Kill them. I'm having a good time. Play like 20 minutes. It'll be a good time. But do you think either of them plays?
I do, yeah.
Both?
Yes.
Wow. I don't think it's both.
They've had the rest. I think they should both sit the Sunday game for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're definitely not playing both the games. What do we need to do to win this game?
So, I mean,
Blazers are coming off a win also tonight when we're recording this. They're hot right now.
The Blazers have definitely improved their play from where they were throughout the whole season.
Yeah.
But basically, a lot of their offense flows to two guys, CJ McCollum and Dame Lillard. And I'd like to see us, you know, in the absence of Pat, I'd like to see maybe some different kind of team looks, maybe some more aggressive trapping on these two guys. So throughout the regular season, Portland averaged the least amount of assists in the entire NBA, only 20 a game. They play almost that Houston-style offense where it's kind of your turn, my turn.
Chopped and screwed.
Yeah. They have picked up this amount of assists in the bubble thus far. They're up to 25 a game, which has rocketed them to, I believe, 17th in the NBA.
That's a big-ass jump.
And, you know, the issues with this are, like, as I alluded to, not having Pat definitely hurts. He spends a lot of time on Dame. You know, he's great on ball. And then in the December matchup, when we had Paul George, he wasn't available for our first matchup with the Blazers this year. He kind of got roasted by McCollum, PG did, through about 12 possessions, which isn't the largest sample size for sure. But McCollum went 3 of 4.
It's a pretty good 12 possessions for CJ McCollum right there.
So I'd like to see, I mean, unless we can't stay in front of them, you know, and they're getting easy looks at the basket, I'd like to see some effective trapping, force these guys to either beat us above the break or make one of their other forwards, make Carmelo beat us. You know what? If Carmelo beats us in this game,
fine.
I'll live with that
fine.
One.
Yeah. So I have a similar, I have somehow contained their backcourt, and specifically I want to see some early stops. Make them second guess their decisions. Kind of those mental stops where it's like, oh, damn, okay, can't really get that done. They're throwing this look at me. I think that just throwing them off their rhythm.
Yeah.
Because once Dame gets into a rhythm, no one can really stop him.
Yeah. What did he make tonight? He was like 9 of 12 or something from three?
I think he had 11 threes. I don't know. It was something insane. But yeah, so just kind of piggybacking off you. And they're hungry right now. So they're going to come out guns blazing.
Definitely. I mean, I see them getting the 8 seed. I hope they get the 8 seed. I think that's a nightmare matchup for the Lakers.
Yeah.
And to your point, just getting a few stops in this one is gonna go a long way.
Yeah.
The Trailblazers are a bottom five team in opponent points allowed per game.
Oof.
They allow on average at least 115 points on them.
115? Damn.
The only worst teams in the NBA are the Pelicans.
Ooh, and then they're not getting any better.
The Timberwolves.
Bad.
The Wizards.
Also bad.
And the Hawks.
That's not good company to be in.
That is not good company to be in. Nurk could improve their defensive presence a little bit.
Yeah.
So they're actually in the bubble allowing more points per game than they were during the regular season. Allowing now about 122 points a game, which is absurd to me on paper.
It's a load of laundry. You can almost watch a full load of laundry there.
However, that is only the 17th worst in the league. Okay. So, you know, whatever. we're only allowing teams 108 points a game, however. So
like
just a few stops, I think, is going to go a long way in this one. It's just going to put so much pressure on Damon McCollum.
Definitely. What could go wrong? Their size gets to us.
Yeah, so interesting. Like, they have a couple of... I mean, they haven't had Nurk all season, but in that game against Houston, he was huge for them.
Yeah.
And Whiteside, you know, can be capable, has his ups and downs.
When he wants to play.
He had one or two solid games against us.
Yes, it was those games. It was a stretch of games we were playing very good bigs. I think it was a stretch against Rudy Gobert, too, and Doc just kept running directly at them and putting shots up. And hey, guess what? They blocked a lot of them. It was crazy. Nurk's their second leading scorer.
Yes.
22 a game.
In the bubble, which is only a 3-game sample size so far. I guess 4 after tonight's.
Yeah. We're going to need Zoo to keep his stellar play up and specifically not get into foul trouble.
Yeah.
Because if Zoo gets into foul trouble and we have to go to, like, the small... It's going to be just interesting. I don't want to see Doc's rotations getting messed up. They didn't in this Mavs game. So we got to watch those fouls.
Definitely. Definitely.
Anything else that could go wrong?
I mean... I hope that we're able to keep hitting early and space the floor effectively.
Yeah.
They average the second most blocks in the NBA if we do end up having to go at the rim harder. They average 6+ a game.
That's a lot.
So, you know, it kind of goes to your thing earlier of like when we went through that stretch of just running into a wall against talented bigs. But I don't think we'll see too much of that. Hopefully Zoo can just stay on the floor out there, and I think that is going to mitigate so much their size. I worry more, honestly, about what we do on the from the bench at the five. That Whiteside matchup is going to be difficult. Maybe we'll throw some Jamichael looks at him. Michael's
fallen, just try and space him out. And
yeah.
Run him around.
Definitely.
Key matchups, we've talked about this kind of throughout this segment, but Dame versus team defense, Bev probably gonna be out of this one.
He's gonna be out of this one.
Definitely gonna see some multiple looks at him. So yeah, we leave Melo or Zach Collins open to get shots. If those two guys do it, so be it.
Yes, definitely.
Like, what are we gonna do?
Not having Bev is huge though. Landry is definitely going to get some looks at him at Damian Lillard at some point.
Man minutes out there.
Yeah, just because, both of these guys in McCollum and Dame are probably going to play close to 40 minutes, assuming that we have all of our start, or that we have, at least Kawhi and Paul George playing.
And we're not, we don't throw the towel in earlier or something like that.
Yeah, and Landry played awful against Lillard in November, as you might have guessed. Lillard went like 5 of 8 through 21 possessions.
Yeah.
So they were clearly like gaming out that matchup.
Yeah, which is going to happen again, too.
He did. Guiding a shining light for Landry. I'm trying to give him a shining light every one of these times, and maybe he'll come through for me. He fared a little bit better against McCollum in a smaller sample size, holding McCollum to 1 of 3 through a less than 10 possessions, but.
Hey,
what are you going to do?
More than 5. Bench v. bench is going to be interesting. And it's not really bench v. bench. It's our bench versus 3 of their guys. They're running an 8-man rotation, which means our second unit is going to see a bunch of possessions against a large percentage of the starters. I don't really care about the bench offense compared to the defense. Like, where we lose this game is probably going to be some of these bench minutes if we lose. We need to just not look like a sieve. And I'll consider it a success against this Blazers team. And Gary Trent Jr. is someone to look out for who could just torch our bench.
Dude, Gary Trent
Jr. The dude is a bubble darling right now.
He's incredible. He's incredible to watch.
So that's, just the bench defense versus itself is going to be huge in this game.
Yes.
We're not going to stagger PG and Kawhi.
No.
So why?
We haven't really even done that.
And I'm still not convinced both of them are going to play. Just not looking like a sieve, I'll consider a success.
I'm assuming that both of PG and Kawhi are gonna play, and I think a matchup that is hell for them is just both of our scoring forwards against kind of their lack of defending forwards. Moving Collins to the 4 helps a little bit for them, but like Melo getting roasted.
Yeah, that's not gonna be fun.
It's not gonna be a good time, man.
What's your quick prediction for this game?
I think we take this one 118 to 110.
I'm going to give this one to the Blazers.
All right.
I think this one might be a Blazers game. I think we might see some guys sitting. I think, I don't think Doc's
we better not be sitting game. Anybody. I'm saying we better not be sitting anybody.
I think the Blazers maybe take this one.
You want us to be below 500 is what you're saying.
Yeah, I would love that. That's exactly what I'm saying.
That's what I'm hearing.
Okay, that's fair. I think we maybe drop this one and then come out firing against the Nets. I think it's 115-108 Blazers. Not very positive check mark for right now.
You want us to have a losing record.
But coming up after this, we're going to be talking Nets versus Clips and a real quick LMQ.
All right, so we're back, and this is going to be we're going to have to kind of breeze through this one. We're assuming just off the bat that most guys are going to be resting in this Nets game. At least Kawhi and Paul George.
I'm assuming Kawhi and Paul George are playing 40 minutes.
I would hate that so much.
65
minutes. I would hate if they rested the Blazers game and played this game.
We'll see what happens.
I would not forgive Doc.
But what we need to do to win, let's just be ourselves.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, this is a Nets team. No disrespect to this Nets team. They got a lot of heart and stuff like that. Come on. They might surprise us. This could be like the Bucks game where, you know, Giannis doesn't play the whole second half. Maybe Kawhi and PG don't play the whole second half or something.
I don't think they play at all.
Like, we just got to be ourselves and we can get a win against this team.
Definitely.
You stop Joe Harris and Caris LeVert.
Yes.
I'm not sure what else can beat us.
Dude, Timothy Lou Carabot. Caribou? I don't know how to pronounce that. Sorry about there.
Come on, man. Jeez. 2020, you're doing this?
Any big fans out there? He had a huge game against the Bucks. Also, Garrett Temple was their second leading scorer in that game.
This is one of those games where it would be like, okay, of course the Nets shoot 75% from three against the Clippers. Like, this could be maybe one of those games.
Yeah.
But with the way we were executing against the Mavs, it doesn't seem like it will be.
Yeah, that's fair.
What could go wrong in this game?
I mean, I just think that too many people are going to rest. Like, no Pat, no Kawhi, no PG. I mean,
no Trez.
Yeah, nothing that could go wrong. With Morris having to run the whole offense, he could get back into some bad habits.
That's true.
He's been looking so good lately.
So, like, yeah, Morris and Lou are going to have to do some heavy lifting. We're going to see a bunch of role player guys get minutes in this game, which will be sweet. I hope Jermichael continues to keep doing his thing.
Definitely.
We're going to see some Noah minutes, I'm assuming.
We'll have to.
Yeah, like some man, maybe a couple cups of coffee.
Be so nice. Definitely. Could use them.
Key matchups in this game. Patrick Patterson versus whoever is on offense in front of him.
Yeah, let's try to improve against
Let's not have the worst plus minus.
Yeah.
That would be sick.
That would be good.
This feels like a get your mind right game for Patterson on the defensive side of the ball, though.
100%.
Right.
This would be a good game to like continue to be a great team on the glass.
Yes, couldn't agree more.
Could be another great opportunity for Zoo to have a double-double game, kind of show out.
Man, three in a row?
It'd be incredible. Well, assuming that he gets it in Portland, too.
I think it'd be 4-0, yeah.
4-0. they're also a bottom 5 rebounding team. We're in the top 10, and it's not 10 or 9 or 8.
7.
It's 7. Yeah, it's 7.
That's top 7. what's your prediction for this game?
I actually think we drop this one. I think it's... I still think it's close. I still think it's close. Like, the bench gets us most of the way there, but we're kind of just really emptying the bench at the end. I think it goes 108 to 115 Nets.
So the score I chose for the Blazers game?
Is that the score? I mean, I don't know, dude.
I'm going Clippers are going to win this game 126 to 110.
All right.
Or something like that. All right, let's get into this Love Mary quarantine, which I'm pretty proud of.
Yes, this is a great one.
So the salmon color polo curse was broken. We won without the salmon color polos, great. I wish we could wear them every game, but we're not. So, other lucky clothing items the coaching staff could wear.
Lay them on me.
We have Balmer-sized gingham shirts.
Do they come with a pre-ripped elbow?
You can choose pre-rip or no rip. And they have to be untucked.
Oh, yeah.
They have to be untucked.
Oh, yeah.
Second option, everyone has to wear Bermuda shorts with high socks.
Ooh, okay.
You can choose the socks. Obviously, it's team-issued shorts. Shoes have to be sandals.
All right.
That's a chill look. Third option. Everyone on the coaching staff has to wear one long dangly earring.
I like it.
The one long dangly earring is so funny to me.
I love it. Like, sort of like the vintage George Michael kind of look.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah. It's open-ended, you know? It can be anything. It can be like a tangible shape like the George. I think he had a cross or something like
that.
Yes. It could be maybe, you know, like it could be anything you want. It just has to be one long dangly earring. What are you LMing and queuing?
All right. I'm loving... I'm going to love the bomber size gingham shirts.
It's a fun time.
With the tear. The stipulation is it has to have the tear. It's, okay. It's memorable. It's memorial. It's commemorative.
To what?
Bomber ripping his shirt open. He's loving the team.
Okay.
I got to marry the one long dangly earring.
It's the best idea I've ever had.
It just needs to happen. I'd love to see Doc with an earring.
Rex Kalamian with one long dangly earring yelling at the team about defense.
I think would be so great. It would be,
and if you're going to get a DNP, you also have to have one long dangly earring on.
I love... Yeah, I'm marrying it. This should just be an official thing. We should rule it in.
Chandelier earrings. So you're quarantining Bermuda shorts, high socks.
Gotta do it.
It's a pretty basic look, you know.
The stipulation...
It would look good with the salmon color polos.
It would look good with the salmon color polos. The sandals stipulation I don't like.
Okay.
Not a big sandals guy. Seems dangerous on the court.
That's fair. Sandals with toes, with a toe covering.
Steel-toed sandals.
Steel-toed sandals, yeah. I'm actually going to love the Bermuda shorts with high socks.
That's fair.
Because I think you also, a stipulation I put in is the shorts are the same color as whatever shirt the team is wearing. So it's a very weird look. The socks are an all-over, in kind of an argyle with Clippers colors. And then the sandals.
Or the Ralph Lawler socks.
Ooh. Oh, that's a good call. And then the sandals are the Fun Guy sandals from New Balance.
Those are good. Yeah, those are good sandals.
I obviously have to marry the one long dangly earring.
I mean, it should be a rule.
It's up there with Landry Shamit's Laundry Jammit in terms of best Love Mary quarantine ideas we've had. And Wine in a Box at a Pizza Zubats. That was a good one. And then I gotta quarantine the gingham shirts, I think.
That's fair.
I don't want to. This isn't a thing where
I'm like,
it's
kind of boring.
Get out of there. I think it's funny. I think tucking it in is funny.
Yeah.
Because it'd just be so billowy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think one long dangly earring, that's an all-timer right there.
That's just great.
Cassell with one long dangly earring?
Oh, man.
That's hilarious. Dude, some of these people would just wear
that's
the look.
That's hard.
They would just wear the look anyway. All right, that's about it for shavings. We could talk about one long dangly earring on basketball coaches probably for a whole podcast series. But Monday's episode, we're going to be recapping hopefully two victories.
Yes.
Over the Blazers.
Definitely one.
Definitely one. Over the Blazers and Nets, maybe a Trez travel update?
Possibly.
Who knows? Good times. We're going to be tracking those flights. Whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, Will, where can these people find and subscribe to us?
You can find us on iTunes or the podcast app on your iPhone.
Yeah.
Go ahead and subscribe if you haven't already. We'd love it so much. It'd help us out.
Hell yeah.
Leave a rating or review if you feel so inclined. Once again, it helps us out. We'll give you a shout out on the air. We super appreciate it. Also, you can check us out on Spotify. If you're not an iTunes person, you can also find us on French streaming app Deezer. You can listen directly through the Megaphone app or the embeddable player.
If you if you see the tweet and you're like, hey, it's not working on iTunes, you can just play it directly from the tweet.
Yes.
That's a fun little life hack for you.
Yes. And you can also tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers.
Yes. Thank you for hanging out with us. We'll get to you on Monday. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.